This is the time in worship when we look to God's Word and we try to find a blessing. I'm hoping that during this sermon I won't look so serious and I won't look so rigid and I won't look so holy that we can kind of enjoy at least a bit of a dialogue with each other. This text from Matthew is an unbelievable text. We're going to begin at verse 25. It says 20 in the bulletin, but we're going to begin at Matthew 11, 25, and read to the end of the chapter. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure." Hear that. This was your good pleasure. "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So Jesus is setting up the text. He's setting up what he's going to say next. He's saying, the Father and I are one. I know the Father knows me. And the Father is going to let me reveal his plan, his wisdom, his way to those the Son chooses to reveal this. Now listen to the next few sentences. You probably learned them in Sunday school, probably memorized them better than I can even read them. Listen. It's tender. It's glad. It's not dour. It's not serious. It's not scary, as the people of Israel when the Ten Commandments were given to them. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you anapauso. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May God bless this scripture, and may God give me his Spirit, and may God give you his Spirit, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together may be acceptable to God. If you looked at the bulletin and you saw the sermon theme, you'd have said, doesn't Graven Good know how to spell? Light and easy. That's not how you spell light. Except that's how our contemporary world spells light. Go to Waltz. Go to Jewel and look in the ice cream freezers. They have white ice cream, L-I-T-E. Go in the cake mix aisle, and you will find light German chocolate cake. It's like you bring it home and you bake it and you'll lose weight because it's light. I've seen advertisements in newspapers and neighborhood flyers that talk about light work, great pay. So when Jesus talks about his burden being light and easy, it's not that kind of light we're talking about. So we begin with looking at the contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's why I wanted to, sometimes when I come here, I read from Romans, the law of God. That's why I wanted to read Exodus this morning. The Old Testament presents a view of God to us that almost all of us have learned, that sometimes is sort of so awesome and so scary, we kind of stand back from it. Don't touch the ark. God's symbolic presence with Israel. God said to Moses, stand back, you're on holy ground, take your shoes off. Whew. Awesome. Fearful. Sometimes we think about the law of God like that. Scary. So when Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He was talking in a particular context. He was talking about the heaviness of what it meant to be in that community when Jesus came to earth. The Pharisees and the scribes had made the law and the rules and God be kind of heavy and scary and distant. And then they, you know, made all the man-made laws. You know, we have the Ten Commandments. They had hundreds of little tiny connections, little things that you had to do or you broke the law. You could only walk a certain distance. And the Pharisees seemed like they were on the street corners with their grade book saying, oh, they did that, oh, they did that, oh, shouldn't do that, shouldn't do that. So the law became like a heavy burden. It was something that sort of, you had to live up to it or God couldn't love you. That's how it got interpreted. So here we have Jesus in the New Testament that says he's coming to present his heavenly Father to us. And he says, come unto me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, many of you know that I was a Christian therapist for almost 40 years. And let me tell you about all the people that came to me who were burdened and heavy laden. Hundreds. Hundreds. They had no idea of grace often. They were burdened. That's why I like the text when it says, come unto me, all, panta, everyone with a burden, not just about the law, not just about that day and age. Come unto me, all who are burdened and heavy laden. And I would see people in my office at New Leaf for decades who were trying to find peace. They were trying to get rid of the burdens. They were trying to get rid of the problems in all the wrong ways. Some of them decided that Jim Beam or Coors would take care of their burdens. And it would dull the conscious awareness of one's burdens for a while. Some people thought that trading in their old wife for a new wife would give them rest and peace, a wonderful life. Some of them thought if they had a three-car garage instead of a one-car, unattached garage, they would find rest. Some of them thought that if you work 60 or 70 hours a week and were very productive, that would give you rest. So they were looking for rest in all the wrong places. So part of my job would be, could you believe that your past mistakes and failures and sins could be forgiven in Jesus Christ? And could you believe that you could find some peace and serenity and rest if you trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, this word for rest in this text has the root in Greek of pauso. It's the same root that we get our word pause from. Come unto Jesus, and you can pause. You can stop the franticness. You can find true rest and peace in Him. That's what it says. That's what Christ said. You will find rest for your souls. Peace. Quiet. I wonder if we dare to trust that. Because you know what happens in the next part of the verse, if you read it? All of a sudden, now he goes, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke. You know what a yoke is? Some of you who remember old-fashioned farming, this kind of bracket that went around an animal's neck, sometimes with another animal, to pull a wagon or pull a plow. My dad, who farmed in Rock Valley, Iowa, told me about having a one-horse plow when he was a kid, when he was a teenager. The horse would pull the plow through the rich Sioux County land. So is this bait and switch? Does Jesus say to us, come unto me and I'll give you rest? And then he goes, gotcha. I got this yoke for you. You know, that's what advertising does. I think we've all fallen victim to that advertising, right? You see it in the paper. There's this wash machine that you need for your basement, and it's on sale for only $3.99. And you go to one of the stores, and the salesman says, oh, no, you don't want that. We don't even have any. But this one over here for $6.99, it's a bargain. So they lured you in, and now they got you. My wife and I we're not quite tree huggers, but we're very conscious as Christians about ecology. So I get this mailing on Arbor Day. It says, if you will give a $25 donation, you will get 10 Colorado blue spruces. Maybe some of you are smiling. 4 or 5 weeks later, the 10 Colorado blue spruces came in an envelope. Bait and switch. You see an ad in the shopper, and it says, you'll get a free half gallon of ice cream this week. And you come to the store, and you bring your half gallon of ice cream up to the counter, and the clerk says, well, that's with a $25 purchase. That's not what Jesus is doing here. He's not baiting and switching with us. He's telling us something unique. He's saying you will find rest in Him, and when you have His yoke on your shoulders as a Christian, that burden is easy, and it's light. He's talking about a connection. The Bible is so holistic. It has all these strains that hook together. If you have a connection to Christ and you know His love and you totally fall in love with Christ to do His will, to follow His commands, it's light. It works. It's a blessing. His burden is easy and His yoke is light. He has a handcrafted yoke for every one of you here this morning, including the old guy in the pulpit. He's got a handcrafted yoke. He was a carpenter's kid. He's got a 46 long for Rich. He's got your size. He's got petite sizes. He's got extra long. He's got every yoke handcrafted for you. And what that means is, God never asks you to use your gifts if you don't have that gift. He asks you to use your gift, to use the burden he sets on your shoulder, because you have the gift to do that. There are so many needs in South Holland. There are so many needs in our respective communities. And his burden is easy and it's light, because he says to each one of us, here's the yoke I put on you. It fits perfectly. It doesn't rub. It's gentle. And if you use your gifts in the kingdom, it will be a joy. Now, a lot of people in this world have found that out. A lot of Christians through history have found out that using their gifts and using that light yoke that Jesus puts on each of our shoulders who call his name is easy. Think of the people we read about in literature. Do you all know about Corrie ten Boom? Persecuted, hurt, abused, and she's the one that's setting up care for German military officers after the war that hurt her and her family? A year ago, my wife and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, so we did Hawaii for the first time. And we looked out at the island of Molokai. Molokai, where Father Damien went. Nobody else wanted to be around the lepers, so they put a leper colony on Molokai. And Father Damien, this Catholic priest, went to Molokai and set up a leper colony to take care of hurting lepers. And what do you think Father Damien died of? How about leprosy? And I'll guarantee you, his yoke was easy and his burden was light, because he had Christ's yoke on him, and he was doing God's will, and he was connected to Jesus, and Jesus was giving him strength and courage, and the Holy Spirit was living in him. And it was, hooray, we got a place for lepers. I trust the Lord more than anything else. And we can go on and on and on and on. Some of you folks out there probably know the book Purpalini, Tsetse Binding. He was one of my professors at Calvin College years ago. He tells this incredible story that makes me know how light Christ's yoke is when we wear it well and we wear it with Christ's strength. He tells this story. You know, he's a Northwest Iowa guy, Middleburg. Grew up down the road from where my father was raised. He tells this story of this little country church, struggling Dutch, mostly Christian Reformed and Reformed farmers. And they have a public school, but they want a Christian school. And Pa says, nah, I don't think we can afford that. And Mom's saying, yeah, but we have to have a Christian school for our kids. Pa says, no, I don't think we can afford that. And Mom has a newborn baby, and she's nursing the baby. And as this tension is going on in the family, all of a sudden, she is no longer able to nurse the baby. And she keeps imploring her husband, we need a Christian school for our kids. He says, no, I don't think we can afford that. And the night comes when all the men from the church and the village gather to decide, will we have a Christian school? And Mom's waiting and waiting and waiting to hear the answer. And Pa comes home. And she says, well, and he says, we decided to build the Christian school. And here's the punchline. And she could now nurse again. The burden, the yoke was easy when it was being done for Christ. We each have a calling. We each are called to take Christ's yoke on us with all our training, with all our gifts, with all our blessings. And we're invited to make a difference in God's world because we're Calvinists, because we're Calvinist Christians, and we believe that the whole world needs to be transformed for Christ. On this Mother's Day, I'm going to end with another story to help us to understand how profound it is that Christ's yoke is easy. And it's a blessing. It's an Andrew Kienhoven story. Andrew Kienhoven was my friend. When I was the pastor at Lawndale Christian Reformed Church 35, 40 years ago, and the little black children were not allowed to go to the local Christian school, who should show up on Pulaski Road one morning, knock on the door and say, "Hi, I'm Andy Kienhoven. Hi, I'm Rich Gravengood. I'm the pastor here." That man in Grand Rapids saw that it was so important to support black Christians that he came all the way to Chicago just to visit and give us support to get Christian education for our kids. Well, he was a guy who always helped me to understand Scripture. And this is his story, but it helps me understand this text. He did a workshop for preachers one time. And he said, "I want to tell you the difference between work and God's work. I want to tell you the difference between work, as everybody knows it, and work in the kingdom." And he told this story, and I'm going to walk around and tell the story. He said when he was going to seminary, he had to have a part-time job to pay the bills. So he worked in a meat packing factory. Bloody. Not like studying Greek. And the carcasses of the animals would come through. And it was his job to butcher them and cut them up and get them all ready for sale. And they would come, and they would come. And he'd look at his watch and say, "Oh, 2:30, some more to do. 3:30, some more to do. 3:45, 50, 4 o'clock, I can get these bloody clothes off. I can go home and rest." That's one kind of work, he said. But work in the kingdom is different. And he told the story of he and his wife had a little baby. And it was very sick. And they went to the doctor, and they couldn't seem to find a cure for this little kid, this little baby that had a fever that looked nigh unto death. And they tried everything. And he said he watched his wife, and he helped some of the time. He watched his wife holding that little baby, getting cold packs to cool down the temperature of that little baby, getting the right kind of medicine for that little baby, staying up night after night after night after night to take care of that little baby. And then he ended and said, "You know what? That wasn't work. Because the way the mom and the dad loved that kid, they would do anything for that kid." That's the kind of work we're called upon to do in the kingdom. God has a love affair with us. And we're called to have a love affair with Jesus Christ, to do everything as long as we live, to always say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I will live for you." So learning how to forgive other people is not work. It works. Resentments kill us. Learning how to love people that wronged us isn't work. It's good stuff. It unites us to Christ. It unites us to our brothers and sisters. Being strong Christians in South Holland, witnessing to God's love for all people, isn't work. Continuing to make Cottage Grove Church a blessing to each other in this community isn't work. God has a call for each one of us, and he invites us today to take his yoke upon us and to learn of him and to change the world for Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting us come close to you, not run away from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for welcoming us, not pushing us away. Thank you, for Lord Jesus, for giving us a task, a yoke, a handcrafted, soft, tender yoke to do your work in your world. Thank you for Cottage Grove Christian Reformed Church and all those folks here today. Bless them as they take your yoke upon them and learn from him and continue to be a blessing. On this Mother's Day, Lord, I praise your name. Amen.